I shall leave you as you left me.
As you left her.
Marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet. Buried alive. Buried alive.
All right. Welcome to the Toddcast. This is a Mills All-Star special. Ken could not make it today, so you have me, John, your regular, one of your regular hosts. With me is my assistant manager, Ryan. Say hi, Ryan.
Hi, what's going on?
And then we also have the leader of Ladies Night, Angela.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about your nerd stuff for this week. As you heard, Con was this weekend at Pittsburgh, so we're going to talk about that a little later. let me just hit you guys up with some cool events coming up first. We have our annual Silver Age sale this weekend, 40% off all Silver Age, no restrictions. And I believe that is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah, Friday it's only new comic subscribers. Saturday and Sunday, come on in. We just got restocked on a lot of stuff. We have the high-grade silver here. Pretty sure C3 has another Silver Age section. We have some $3 stuff here, too. Be good times. So if you're looking for a certain book, you know, go and see which store you need to hit up, because it's going to be awesome. Then the following weekend, we have the legendary basement sale up in Elwood. Like, what, 750,000 books for
all
a buck
for
a piece?
For a dollar.
Ridiculous. Then after that, on October 25th, is the Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles Show, which is at our Century 3 location. I will be there. Come hang out with me. Come see things. It'll be good. We have a costume contest going on, and then we also have one from Xenoscope 2. It's going to be nuts. We're giving away like a total of like $1,000 worth of stuff for costumes. So Ange, who likes to cosplay, is like, yeah! Yeah! It's the face I'm getting right now. Then November 1st, we have two events at your local NDC. We have Comic Book 101 Day, which is a day you can come in and kind of learn how to do collecting. So if you've ever wanted to know how to collect stuff, come and pick our brains. We'll tell you which bags to use for the right age. We usually do like a little bit of sales on supplies. It's a good time. And also on that same day, NDC Games Day. This is an event that's been growing every year, and it's a tiered sale, and because we make our own dice, make our own playmats every year. So for $5, you get a single NDC die, and that die will be a different color depending on which store you go to. Then, if you spend $10, you get two dice, so a set of the same color. Say you want one of each color, though. How you get that, you say? $20 gets you five, one of each color. $30 gets you a set of five and a playmat, which I think ours are mostly green. Cranberry has like a pink fuchsia. C3 has a purple. Butler has a blue, and I really don't know what Elwood has.
So for the playmats, do you got to go to all five stores to collect them all?
Yes, you can. I know that a couple of us traded up a little bit, but if you really want a certain color, go to that store. If say you want to go real nuts and spend $50, you get a play set of both die. So 10 die and the play mat. By the way, this is the pre-tax amount, so you have to hit 50 before tax, just so you know. So $49.99 does not get you it. $50.01, total
another penny in there.
One more penny of gaming stuff. And it's only on gaming stuff. I know all the other stores and us as well are doing all kinds of cool gaming events that day. So go and check it out. It'll be fun times. Other than that, we have like Black Friday coming up. We have our Star City Games thing coming up.
I would like to say for October Ladies Comic Night, we are doing a cosplay thing. And it's also Mall Halloween night because it's
that's
before
true.
Halloween. So a lot of stuff's going to be going on.
Yeah. That's totally going to be cool.
It's going to be super rad.
That'll be the last Thursday in October.
Yeah.
It's both of them start at 6, both Ladies Comic Night here at the Mills and Halloween night for the mall is that Thursday at 6 o'clock. We'll be handing out comics, possibly candy. The Ladies Night will be fully engulfed in reading some awesome books. You guys are reading Witches, number one, which comes out next week. Yep. and Ghost Number One,
yep.
By Kelly Sue DeConnick, right?
Yeah, it's a Image Dollar.
Yeah.
Comic, yeah.
Or Dark Horse.
Dark Horse, yeah. Sorry.
So it's the newest one. It'll be awesome. I'm pretty excited about it. They always seem to have a lot of fun when they're here. So
yeah, I'm super excited because I think even a couple people that usually aren't really into cosplay, I think they're going to try to do costumes too. So I would be excited to see what they.
I'd be excited.
I'm excited
for the free comics.
I know. Like,
I'm just
Afterlife
excited
with
to dress
Archie,
up.
There's a whole bunch of really cool.
It's got an exclusive cover by Frank Avila.
Right? I'm actually looking at it right now. Anyway. All right. So let's talk about some comics that came out this week. I'm going to start with Future's End Booster Gold number one. I didn't really read the whole book, but I had to mention it because halfway through the book, the old 52 shows up.
The old 52?
Yeah, like a Booster Gold from the other universe shows up and is like, who the hell are you? And he's looking at all these monitors that the other Booster's looking at, and he's like, well, who the hell do you think I am? I'm you. And he's like, no way. And he's like, this isn't my universe, and blah, blah, and he has the old 52 costume on and stuff. So the only reason I wanted to talk about this book is that, excuse me, they have been slightly putting in the old 52 stuff into different things. Superman Doomsday 2 also mentions it. Like, you get to see slivers of the old one, and it's crazy. Like, you just get to see these weird glimpses into the old 52 and what's going on. So, I don't know if that means that they're going to do, like, a full-on crisis, like everyone thinks.
Hmm.
Or if it's just going to be one of those weird, you know, kind of deals where, you know, it's just like, ooh, look at the old 52. Look at Booster Gold. I really don't like Booster Gold. I just wanted to read it because of that, and I got about that far, and I stopped. So, poo on you,
so
Booster Gold.
So, overall, not so great?
If you like Booster Gold, you'll probably like it. I'm trying to actually see. So this art is all over the place, and who wrote this thing? Jeez. Oh, Dan Jurgens wrote it, and then he did some of the art. Ron Frenz did some of the art. Like, it's all over the place. Well, like,
yeah, that's a long.
There's like 12 different artists on here. It's nuts, but wasn't awesome, but it was cool to see the old 52 come back for a moment. At least
you read
that's
it
what
for
I
the reference.
I did. It was good. So, what do you got, Ryan?
I have Gru versus Conan.
Awesome.
Yes. So, with this Gru vs. Conan series, let's face it, everybody wants to see Conan fight his parody.
Who wouldn't?
Exactly. And with this series, it's not only fun because it's Gru versus Conan, it's also fun because the creators wrote themselves into this story. So you have the story flashes between Conan and Gru's universe is kind of like merging, and Gru's universe brings Conan over to defeat the monster that is rampaging them, which is Gru, because he bumbles everything and screws everything up, and so they consider him a monster, so they bring Conan over to defeat him. In the real world, Sergio Aragonés and Mark Evanier are contemplating doing this crossover, and Sergio gets bonked on the head and then is running around the real world in a hospital gown, thinking he's Conan. So he like steals an officer's horse and is riding it around as Conan.
Aren't these things you do on a weekly basis, Ryan?
You know, I try to at least not have my ass hanging out a gown, you know.
That's true, you don't wear the gown. You do steal horses and, you know.
Yes, yes.
Swing swords around and
so
things.
So, in the third issue here.
Ride a battle pug.
Yes. in the third issue here, Conan finally meets Gru, and he can't believe that Gru is as dumb as Gru is. And Gru is even trying to convince him of how dumb Gru is.
Right.
And it gets to the point where they end up battling
And by the end of the issue, it looks like from the last page that Gru has actually beat Conan.
What?
Gru beat... See, Conan is all bloodied laying here next to this thing, and Gru is still standing.
Cartoon physics? That's all I can think of.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but we'll see how it goes next
issue.
Like in
Multiversity, when Captain Carrot gets, like, smushed into the ground, and he pops back up, and he's like, cartoon physics, who's going to argue with me?
Yeah, because I don't know if he's really down for the count. So, they got one more issue. I can't see him being down.
I can't either. Has the book been good so far?
Yeah, it's actually, it's good, and it's really funny, too.
That's good.
Like, so, like I said, it's really funny how the creators wrote themselves in and, like, have jokes that they snap about each other's careers and that throughout the whole thing.
That's hilarious.
Because throughout the whole thing, Sergio Aragonés, he's done art for comics and all kinds of, you know, media. But through this whole thing, they only ever reference him as the guy who drew Mad Magazine.
That's funny. That's really funny. All right. So my next book is Roach Limit 1 by Moretzi Ferrier and Malhotra Boyd. This book... started off the first couple pages were kind of interesting, and then it just got really boring.
Really?
Like, real quick. And then they explain what the Roach Limit is, and then it goes into this, all of a sudden it's like a noir-y thing on like a space station, and reminds me of like the newer Total Recall movie. Like, very, very interesting. I don't know if I want to keep reading this or not. It was very dry, and part of it, I don't know what's going on. So, yeah. Did anyone else read this? Did you guys?
No, I didn't. I didn't read it at all. I looked at it, but I didn't read it.
I don't know. Like, I had such high hopes for this book.
They trap you with the first couple pages, and then it's just disappointment.
It's true. It's like, oh, sweet. Oh, my God, you take forever.
I wasn't too interested in the art. Like, it didn't appeal to me.
Yeah, the art wasn't very good either, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it another issue, though, and see if it just kind of needed to get all that stuff out of the way before it could actually go anywhere, or if it was just really that bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
So. All right. What else you got?
All right. Next, I'm going to do Red Sonja.
Red Sonja?
Red Sonja, yes.
Correctly.
Red Sonja. So, this book's actually been pretty good. Gail Simone and writing it, and Walter Giovanni's doing really good on the artwork here.
Ange loves Gail Simone. And we all know how I feel about Gail Simone.
John does not like her.
And,
she was just jumping up and down. It was very hilarious.
So, this is issue 12, and this is the final issue in the story arc. So, she's been going around gathering up all these the six great artisans of the Hyborian area here, and
does she get to wear more clothes?
No, she's still in the chainmail.
Okay,
and a cape.
Put her cloak on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, she's got.
Yeah. Whatever.
And she gets the final one and goes back because the deal was this lord made her a deal that he will free his thousands of slaves. He's like a king or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's about to die, he'll free them all if she brings him these six artisans and they do a celebration, and then he'll just free all the slaves.
Oh.
So she's been on this quest. She's gathered them all. She gets the final one at the beginning of this issue, and she goes back, and you know, she's, you know, getting treated pretty nice here, gets a bath and everything, and then she is informed that the king is going to renege, and he's not going to free the slaves. He's going to kill all of them and take them with him.
What?
Including the six artisans.
That's some bull.
Because he needs people to serve him in the afterlife.
Oh.
And Red Sonja tries to fight back, and then she gets captured, but the six artisans end up fighting back, freeing her, and then her and the six artisans kill the king and free the land and basically take control of it. Well, Red Sonja doesn't, but the six artisans do.
Hmm. This is what you get when you trust a warlord.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was a good issue. I hope the creative team continues on, which I think they are, but yeah, I really enjoy this book so far.
That's good.
You read this book, Angel?
No, my friend Amanda reads it. She was really into Red Sonja.
I can't believe you don't. You're a Gail Simone fan. You don't read this.
I know, I'll probably buy it when it comes out in trade because I feel like sometimes I read too many comics a month. If that's like such a thing.
What? No.
So some things
you can never have too many comics.
I know. Yes, it's just like how you can't have enough dice for D&D.
Truth. Right? I actually have some dice in my pocket. Sadly. All
I have
the time.
A whole bag of dice over there.
And guitar picks. All the time.
But,
always.
That I'll probably read once the graphic novel comes out. Like Black Widow.
I think Volume 1 is out already, isn't it?
I think so.
Like Black Widow I've been waiting to read for the graphic novel, and like that's out now.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
So what's your book?
My last book, which actually I really liked, Guardians of the Galaxy 19. All right. So this book is the second of three that explains how the hell Star-Lord, Thanos, and Drax got out of the Cancerverse.
Okay.
And what happened to Rick Rider. So in the middle of this, or it starts off with Star-Lord holding the Cosmic Cube, killing Thanos, and they're all like, oh my god, it worked, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, a big naked Thanos shows up, punches his fist right through him, kills him.
Interesting.
Bam. Then Drax kills Thanos. Then both of them reappear alive, and they realize, oh my god, we really can't die in here. Hence, the Cancerverse. If you haven't read War of Kings, I recommend it. They are reprinting all of these issues, or all the issues that had Guardians with War of Kings coming out in November or December, I think, and like a big collection, the Abbott and Landing stuff, or Abnett and Landing. So anyway, they realize they can't die. So then the Revengers show up, which is that universe Avengers, and they're all like crazy Captain America, Thor, Scarlet Witch, Miss Marvel, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, and they start basically just trying to play keep away with the Cosmic Cube. Cosmic Cube randomly flies up in the air. Nova runs, grabs it, flies away. Cancerverse Cap whips his shield, cuts Rick Rider in half. I'm sorry, cuts Rick Rider's arm off. His arm with the Cosmic Cube falls, and once you know it, they end up with the Cosmic Cube, looking all evil, as they should. Look at that, pure evil. Pure evil.
That can't be more evil.
You're right, it can't. So I'm really curious how they're going to end this. I think it's going to end up somehow being with where Rick Rider sacrifices himself so that the other three can get out. But that's pretty much it. I'm not a huge Guardians of the Galaxy fan anymore. Like, I thought the first couple issues were really good. Then they kind of, like, dipped pretty hard. But this is part of the original Sin story, like, where you figure out what's going on with everybody. This was Star-Lord's original Sin. Like, this was his thing. And it's been a big question on everybody's mind for a long time since they rebooted. How the hell did they get out of there, and how did Thanos show back up? So,
yeah,
one more issue to find out. It's like 3 weeks, I think, it comes out. So
yeah, and I know that Thanos, that new mini, comes out, what, next week is the first issue, I think?
Yes, I think so. The God's Watching or something.
Yeah, I can't remember the title, but
we'll go over next week's books in a minute. Or this week's book, sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. My next book is Armor Hunters 4. Armor Hunters has been a crossover with Exo Manowar and Unity for Valiant.
Exo. Bro, you read the Exo?
That's right.
Bro.
And it's been really good. This was the conclusion to it in Armor Hunters. So the Armor Hunters have like their big giant spaceship / robot that they use to destroy stuff, and their giant robot gets taken down by Livewire, who, she is one of the members of Unity, and she can communicate with machines.
Nice.
And she makes an opening for Exo to get through this thing's like drone shield it has going on.
Does he luge through it?
Yes.
Okay.
If luging through it is, he rides a giant spaceship through it.
That's similar.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And
he's
then
riding
he,
something.
And then once he gets through it, he crashes it into it.
Okay.
And then it's done. It's down. And then the Armor Hunters are They at this point, they've killed, I think, three of them.
Wow.
So there's a couple left, and the leader has a spear that is able to pierce the Manowar armor. It's the only thing that can cut through it. And he ends up stabbing Eric, Exo, through the chest.
Bro, no way.
Bro. Exo down. And Bloodshot,
Man down,
Ninjak, and the Eternal Warrior take on the other remaining armor hunters and kill them. And Exo then gets up with the spear in his chest and stabs the lead hunter and kills him.
What?
So now they're all dead. And Exo's wounded. And what you find out is the armor will heal you, but when it does, that part of you that it healed is now armor. So, like...
Oh!
Yeah, yeah. So, now, where the spear went through is now armor replacing and fixing him.
So, like, he has a piece of armor that goes through him now?
Yeah, like, in,
So when it regenerates, it turns into armor.
Like, when the armor regenerates him, it's like, it, like, weaves itself like fabric into your body to heal that wound.
Interesting.
So, like, the more wounds you get and the more you will the armor to repair your wounds instead of just letting them or trying to naturally heal them, the more you become actual armor.
So what happens if you become the armor?
Well, interesting. So in Armor Hunters, the follow-up issue... It directly leads into the aftermath Nexo Manowar 29. And there is one of the hunters who got infected with the armor, and now half of his body has been taken over by the armor.
Oh, wow.
He's called Malgum because he's amalgamation of human and armor now.
That's a crafty name.
Yeah, yeah. It's not award-winning, but...
that might win you an Eisner right there.
In the aftermath, the general lady or colonel that's in charge of Unity tells him he's got to go get Malgum because they found like a cure that it won't change him back to human, but it'll stop the metal from taking over more of his body, like the armor.
Oh, nice.
And so Exo goes and talks to him, and while he's getting him to calm down and believe that they have this cure, one of the guys inside of Unity, one of the soldiers, traitors the group and ends up killing all the other guards and trying to take Malgum to another country to, like, because other countries now all want an armor of their own.
Right.
It's like the new weapon. So they end up, Exo shows up just in time and takes down that guy, and then they cure Malgum. And he's loaded on a prison ship. And then at the end of the issue, that colonel lady ends up giving the British... let me see, what are they called in here? Whatever the British intelligence, MI6, the spearhead that pierced Exo's armor. So I don't know where that's leading. So it looks like they kind of want to have a weapon in case he gets out of control. They can try to put him down.
Well, yeah. No one likes an out-of-control Exo Manowar.
Yeah, but the series is really good. Robert Venditti and has been doing a really good job with the story with some help from Matt Kent doing the Unity part of it.
Right.
And the art's been really good by Doug Braithwaite, Dago Bernard, Carrie Nord. So.
No, really, I really love their art. I really do. It's... I just could never get into any of the Valiant stuff. But Venditti, I love doing Green Lantern, so, you know, it seems fun. I wish I could get into it more, but I do read a crap ton of books every month and don't need to read anything else. So, anyway, let's talk about some books that came out this week. So, here's some stuff to look out for in your local NDC. Action Comics 35, Adventure Time 32. It's Angel in Faith, Season 10, Number 7. Aquaman the Others 6. Armor Hunters 4. Armor Hunter Aftermath number 1. Batman Green Hornet 5. Batman Superman 14. Batman Eternal 26. Black Widow 11, which has a really good and funny Deadpool variant. Winter Soldier 1. Or Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier 1.
Yeah.
And then Captain America 25, which poses the question... who is the new Captain America?
That was spoiled.
Shock and awe.
Yeah.
Shock and awe.
Which also has a really funny Deadpool variant.
It does. Chaos 6, Cloaks 2, Concrete Park Hardcover Volume 1, Concrete Park Respect. Respect, number 2. Damnation Charlie Wormwood, number 1, which you were really pumped about, Ryan, right?
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to read it, but it looked good, so I want to give it a shot.
Cool. Death of Wolverine 3, Delinquents 1, Detective 35, Doctor Who, the 11th Doctor, number 3, Dream Thief Escape 4, Edge of Spider-Verse 4, which that series has been kind of cool, Figment 5, Fiction Squad 1, Flash Season 0's 1, let's see, Gotham Academy 1, Grayson 3, Green Arrow 3, Green Lantern 35, Green Lantern New Gods Godhead number 1, which I'm pretty excited to check out. We'll tell you all about next week. Holmes and Houdini number 1. Injustice God Among Us Year 2, Annual 1. Sorry. I can't speak today. Jim Butcher Dresden Files Warcry 5. Justice League 34. Kill Shakespeare Mask of Night 4. Legendary Star Wars 4, Little Depressed Boy, supposed to be there too, number 1. Sorry, I had to read it depressing sounding.
Yeah.
Lobo number 1, which has Lobo Prime. Man of Frankenstein 6. Well, there's a lot of Halloween books in here. Mega Man 41. Mercy Thompson number 1. New Mercy Thompson, that's all we need. Moon Knight 8. New Vampirella number 5, which has some really awesome covers as well. Night World 3, Peter Panzerfaust 21. Plume Volume 2 number 1 by our friends at Devil's Due. It's pretty awesome. Tons of new Pop Funko dolls, so come in and get those, including some of the new Buffy ones that came out.
Oh, and there's those new Magic figures too.
Oh, yeah, the new Magic Gathering 6-inch action figures are awesome. Let's see. More toys. Regular Show 15. Silver Surfer 6. Spider-Man 2099 4. Squidder 4. Lots of trades. Suicide Risk 18. Swamp Thing 35. Tech Jacket 4. Probably the most highly anticipated book of the month, Thor number 1 with Lady Thor, which we'll talk about next week, but Ryan and I had a really good discussion about already. TMNT Ongoing 38, Uncanny Avengers 25, Usagi Yojimbo 3, Witchblade 174, Woods number 6, X-Files 0 number 3, and X-Men number 20. Cool. If you guys ever need to see what's going on, I literally just read that right off our own webpage at the new releases tab. Just go and check it out. It's really easy. All right, so now we're going to talk about three things real quick. One, the new Gotham show. Have either of you guys watched it?
No.
No.
Okay, so it's okay. I was really confused as to what the hell the kids had to do with anything because Selena Kyle's in the whole episode, like, periodically.
How many episodes have there been? Just two.
Two, but I didn't get to see the second episode yet. I only watched pilot so far. And she seemed to be, like, the watcher. Like, she was just kind of there, creeping on stuff. Like, she's, like, creeping on the Wayne Manor fence.
When she's, like, 14.
Yeah, wow. And she looks like a really young Michelle Pfeiffer, which doesn't help anything for most dudes watching the show. And she's, like, creeping on the fence while Gordon goes to talk to Bruce Wayne. It was just really weird. I was like, what the hell's going on? This is weird. It was good, though. I hope they continue mostly with the Jim Gordon and the Bullock vibe, which, again, I haven't seen the second episode yet, so I don't know if that's changed or not, but I had a lot of fun watching it. I just don't know if it's something I'm going to watch the whole time or if I'm going to wait for it to hit Netflix, so... second thing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 just came out. Again?
I haven't seen
it. Really? I haven't seen like any of it. I feel awful.
I haven't even seen any of the first season.
It's okay, because last night's episode, record number low in ratings for them. It's the first time they've hit under 5 million.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I thought when the first season first came out on TV, I didn't think it did very well, because I know for the first couple episodes, people would be at work like, oh, did you watch it? I'm like, no. And they're like, yeah, it wasn't that great.
Oh, like, okay. It took a while for them to get good.
Yeah.
After the mid-season finale, it really was good. The season opener was awesome. Like, it had Absorbing Man. He had the whole ball and chain thing, which was awesome. Lucy Lawless was in the episode. Oh, awesome. It was really cool, and it really kind of picked up right where it left off at the end of the season after Cap 2. You kind of get a fill-in as to what's going on in the world in the Marvel U. I haven't seen the second episode, but we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that they bring a lot more characters in. We'll see. And the last thing... Oh, no, sorry. There's four things.
Oh.
Third thing is Ladies' Night.
Yes.
So, Ange, why don't you tell everybody what Ladies' Night is, what it's about, how it came to be.
So, Ladies' Night is the last Thursday of every month. We meet here at the Pittsburgh Mills location at 6. We pick two books, not graphic novels, just like single issues. We usually like discuss that for 10 or 15 minutes, and we just like talk about a bunch of nerdy stuff. I had this idea because before I moved down to Pennsylvania, my old store, when I lived in New Hampshire, they did this every month.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, well, you know, I really miss doing that. So I talked to John one day. I'm like, John, can I do this? And he's like, sure.
I was. So I was pretty much exactly the
conversation. You seemed very excited, too.
I was like, we're going to get ladies in the store? Yeah, yeah. No, I was just more pumped about more people coming in and reading.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that it happened to be a ladies thing.
Yeah.
My initial thought was, oh, it's like book club, but with comics.
Kind of, yeah. And sweet. I think it's also really cool because I think, for the most part, my comic book experiences with, like, this store and my old store back in New Hampshire, like, have always been very positive.
Thank you.
But I have been, like, I'd say when I first started reading comics or just, like, when I was younger in, like, my early 20s, I have been to comic stores where if you're a chick, like, no one will talk to you. Or if they have a question, if you have a question, they're just kind of like, eh. Like,
right.
They don't really want to bother with you. And I think it's also, Ladies Comic Night is good because it gives the ladies, like, oh, there's others like us. We had no idea. Because I was blown away by the first meeting we had, and there were, like, what, like 12 or 13 people?
Yeah.
That was crazy. I'm like, awesome.
And we've been averaging between 10 and 12 every single month.
Between
so
like 8 and 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, it definitely was weird because I totally can understand, like, the, wow, there's a whole bunch of attractive ladies that like to read nerdy things and check them out and be cool. And then a bunch of dudes working at shops that are like, oh, my God, I can't talk to these ladies. They're too attractive. Oh, my God, they're ladies that like nerd things. So for us, though, we're like, that's cool. Just come on in and hang out. Like, you know, I think it's awesomely funny when dudes come in and they're like, what's that group of girls doing over there? We're like, reading comics? They're like, no. Yeah. That's our ladies' night. Like, they just come in and read once a month. It's like book club. Like, wait, there's ladies that like nerdy things and they're hot. We're like, yes,
it
there
happens.
Are. Yes. Which actually we're kind of, like, which is funny, I say that, but really, like, all of you are very attractive.
Oh, well, thank you.
And it's very cool. It's very awkward to say that, and a lot of people think, no, that can't be right. Well, it's true.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now. And what's even funnier is I see, like, people come in with, and there'll be a couple, and I will see, like, these dudes that you would never think would get, like, these 8s, 9s, 10s ladies, and they're just all into them, and they're nerdy, and they're cool, and they're awesome, and I'm just like, man, those jocks back in high school had no idea what was going on at all.
They did not. Well, I know there are a few ladies that before Ladies Night, they have actually never read comics.
Right, yeah.
And so I think that's, like, really awesome to kind of introduce them to, like, nerd, well, I mean, they do have, like, you know, nerdy hobbies, but some of them like Star Trek and stuff.
Yeah, and some of them like their husbands are nerdy guys that shop or play here, and like I know a couple of them like that first night when you guys read Rat Queens, that was the very first book they ever read, and they came in and it was like folded and looked like garbage.
I remember she slapped it on the table. I'm like, what did you do? And I have all mine bag and board in this nice pile. I'm like, no, never do that. Oh God, I can't believe
when she folded it was pretty funny. In half. I was like, oh my God.
I know it was a dollar.
Comic sacrilege.
It is. Right? I know it was a dollar.
But we're getting there. We're getting there. They're getting there.
They have come in less spent now.
Right. But no, we really appreciate everybody that comes out. And you know, I joke about we have a bunch of hot ladies over there, but it's actually kind of funny because
you're gonna make us have stalkers now, John.
It's true. I am. I'm so sorry. But hot or not, you can totally come in and hang out with us. We won't discriminate. But I think it's cool. Like I don't really think that anyone will like judge them either. Like
no.
Like I think it's actually more intimidating for nerd dudes to see a group of nerd ladies than it is
Especially because sometimes our conversations get very like heated and loud about like whatever we were talking about, and I sometimes feel bad for the Pathfinder guys.
A couple
tables over, because I'm like, we're being so loud. I hope they can play their game.
Oh no, they'll be fine. They get loud every once in a while. Yeah. So,
and I think it's really awesome too, because like the two like younger girls that mostly come, they're like juniors in high school, but then you also have people like in their 30s, so it's just like such a range of ages too. It's just like really nice.
Yeah. And, you know, we're always looking for more people. Definitely. And, like, you and Jewel both handed out some flyers at Pittsburgh Comic Con, which we'll talk about next. And, you know, we promote it, and it's a lot of fun. And like, all the ladies that come in and hang out are great.
There are also snacks. I usually bring snacks if people attempt to buy food.
It was really funny, though, because Amanda's husband, Mike, like, he normally shops in here all the time, and she didn't shop in here all the time.
Right.
But the very first meeting, he came in, and he was just, like, milling through magic cards. And I'm like, is this weird having to, like, wait for your wife at the nerd store? And he's like, yeah, normally I have to wait for it, like, Victoria's Secret or something. But I don't mind this at all. This is great. So, if you're a dude and you got a nerdy lady and you want her to, or a lady that's not nerdy and you want to try to get her into the nerdness,
yes,
come and experience some nerd culture, NDC Pitt Mills style with our ladies' night. It's great. Everybody's really friendly. They have a blast. I remember being in the other room one night. I just walked in the door because I came in late or something, and you guys were having some kind of discussion, and it was like erupting loud. And I'm like, man, I can hear them in the other room. This is great. So,
and so many like tangents. Like, we went one night from talking about like Game of Thrones, because Samantha dresses the Hound.
Right.
And so we went from like Game of Thrones and the Hound and his chicken to somehow talking about birth control. So it was just kind of.
Wow. That's,
yeah. It was like.
What did we miss, Ryan?
Right.
We should sit in on these meetings more often.
Yes.
I don't know if they really will have much to say about birth control, though.
True.
Can't really chime in on that.
No, that's true.
Use it.
But
then?
Like I said, it's not always about comics. It's about nerdy stuff or just like random topics. I mean,
right? No, it's cool.
So everyone,
like I said, I've always had a blast. Like, you know, hanging out with the ladies' night, and I think there are a lot of fun ladies out there that like to come in and hang out. And it's not always the same people either, which is cool.
Yeah, the past it's like a rotating cast. We've had a new person, I think, each time.
And I made sure that I was actively handing them out to people at Pittsburgh Comic Con too. So let's talk about Pittsburgh Comic Con for a little bit, because both of you guys were there.
Yay!
I was there like most of the weekend.
I was just there Sunday because I had to work Saturday.
Right. I had to pick up George Perez at the airport on Friday, and it was awesome. Ryan got to do that 2 years ago.
Yep.
Also awesome for him.
Cool.
He was a great dude. We talked about Sirens for like a half hour.
Yeah.
And then he was talking to me about how his wife is like a professional dancer and teaches ballroom dancing and belly dancing.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I made the joke of, well, when you met her, was she ballroom dancing or belly dancing? And he's like, ha 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 ha, ballroom dancing. And it was kind of cool because I kind of got to learn a little bit about him. And like, we talked about our wives and, you know, some of the stuff that he had done working on Teen Titans and Avengers and Wonder Woman. And he told me how completely blown away everyone at DC was when they were doing Crisis on Infinite Earths when Supergirl died, because they thought it was going to be kind of like a throwaway thing. because the movie had just tanked. So they were like, man, whatever, we're just going to kill her off. And, like, the Flash is going to be a big deal because they were killing Barry Allen. And he was, like, a huge character. But it totally got overshadowed by the death of Supergirl. Like, that was a huge thing. And I was like, that's weird. He's like, right? And, yeah, we just talked about some other stuff. It was good times. He's a great guy. I hope to get to hang out with him again. But he was really, really cool. And did you know that the sirens in the book are based after people he actually knows?
Yes.
Oh, I think he told me that, yeah.
Like the main one, the Oracle-looking one with the hood, that's his wife. Ammo is his niece. She's the, like, the Wild West one.
Yeah.
The one that's like a gladiator was based on one of the girls that was at Pittsburgh Comic Con that was one of the Iron Sirens.
Nice.
And she has most of her cosplay for it ready to go already. So he was telling me how awesome Boom was treating him because he basically was like, here's a team book. I know you guys have never done that before, but here's a team book. And this is set up for cosplay in the future so people can just do that and everything be awesome. And they were just like, this is exactly what we want. So it's pretty sweet. There will be apparently one of those giant black and white, like, we call them coloring books, but they're like the pen and ink.
Yeah, yeah, the pen and ink editions.
There'll be a pen and ink edition of number one that has no words in it.
Oh.
So you get to see all of Perez's art just
pen and ink only.
For the glory.
In
yes.
Treasury size.
Yep. Ryan's like, I'm going to buy it and color it.
He'll
buy
know.
It for when he has kids down the road. He'll have big coloring books and be like,
or
just
he'll try
get,
to hide it from them.
Get as good as Uncle George.
Why are you coloring this?
Yeah, they'd be coloring it all wrong. I'd be like, you just
stay
that's sacrilege
lines.
On this book now.
That's right? Not what his costume really looks like.
So you were at Con Friday, Ryan. How did it go? Because I wasn't there really Friday except for like 20 minutes.
It was pretty good. It wasn't super packed on Friday. There's a lot of good deals. A lot of vendors with like dollar books and cheap graphic novels. Like good quality stuff.
Right.
And I picked up a couple cool issues.
Anything good?
Yeah. Journey into Mystery 109.
Nice.
Thor vs. Magneto.
Nice.
Journey into Mystery 121. Thor versus Absorbing Man.
Ooh.
Yep.
Does he touch the hammer and absorb the metal and become like Uru Man?
I don't know. I didn't read it yet.
Oh, okay.
On the cover, he's like steel or something.
10-1, that's what happens.
But let's see. And then I just got a couple periodic other issues to fill in. Conan 22. So
right.
That's about it. I mean, there was, you know, Bill Sienkiewicz was down there. Scott McDaniel.
Ron Friends, Pat Olief.
Yeah.
George was there for most of all day Saturday, most
Alex
of Sunday.
Alex Konat down at the
Aspen
booth.
Who came up and did a impromptu signing up here on Friday night.
Yep.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of local guys, like local, like up-and-comer guys.
Yep.
And I think the biggest line I saw was on Saturday for Paul McGann.
Yeah.
Like I did one loop. I got time to do one loop the entire weekend.
Oh.
And when I went around, his line, he wasn't there. He was at, I think, finishing up his panel. His line was so long, it went past Bill Sienkiewicz and all the way down to Scott McDaniel.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. His line was huge. But it was awesome.
Yeah.
Bill Overmeyer, one of our DMs here, he got a picture with him with his screwdriver and everything. It was really cool. But, yeah, the Doctor Who store brought him in. I would have loved to have met him, but unfortunately I didn't really have time. I had to work the booth. So, and you were there Sunday.
Yes. It was very slow.
Really?
Yeah.
It didn't really seem slow for us.
Right. Well, I was at your booth for a bit, and it was a little busy.
A little bit. It was a little bit in the morning. And then around 1, it picked up. I don't know if it's just because people came in to get registered for the
costume
thing.
Contest.
Yeah.
You had to be registered, I think, by noon, because it started at 1.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was that or if people came in, tried to get in line early and then, you know, mill around. But the vendors really took off around 1. I don't think it was a bad con. I don't think it was a great con. I think it was somewhere in between.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I can agree with that from what I saw on Friday.
I got there early because I wanted to meet a couple celebrities, and I did that within like an hour. I'm like, oh. So I just walked around and looked at vendor stuff.
Right.
I didn't realize how old Sandman was until I addressed his death, and like no one really recognized me, and I'm like,
it looked good, though. I saw the pictures on Facebook. It was awesome, too.
I'm going to wear that for Ladies Comic Night.
Excellent. So if you want to see October. Death at Ladies Comic Night on Mall Halloween Night, we bring you Death.
DC Death.
DC Death.
Vertigo Death.
Vertigo Death.
Still, same thing. DC Vertigo Death.
I did
death.
Have one of the vendors I walked by. He's like, oh, I love your Death costume. And just to let you know, Thanos is looking for you.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty good.
And then I said you should find a Thanos cosplayer and be like, hey, baby.
Yeah.
Want to go kill something? So this brings me to a real quick discussion of, we were at lunch on Thursday after setting up, and Todd and I were talking about the difference in cons lately, and he said that Joe Linsner, like 10 years ago, called this. He said cons are going to be one of three things. Either A, like a vendor-oriented con, which is mostly like how Pittsburgh and Baltimore are, where it's very comic-oriented. A very large cosplay thing, like Dragon Con.
Yeah, Dragon Con's like
I think
cosplay.
MegaCon's a lot like that too now, from what I hear.
A lot of the Wizard World cons are getting more cosplay too.
Yeah, or major pop culture, like where it's most like TV, movies, and no one really gives a shit about the vendors. So, do you agree, disagree? What are your thoughts? Because I partially agree. I think it's more two. I think it's more the pop culture or the comic related, and then the cosplay just kind of happens as a thing.
I definitely think, like, now there are a lot more cosplayers, and I think depending on what con you go to, like, Steel City Con's a lot of pop culture.
Yeah.
Whereas I think this past Pittsburgh Comic Con had a lot more comics, but it still had the pop culture, because it had, like, the Doctor Who, and it had, like, Gigi Edgley from Farscape.
Right.
So it had a little more pop culture than comics.
Had a ton of, like, professional cosplayers.
Yeah.
Nightmage was there.
Oh, yep.
He's actually going to be doing an appearance
here.
Oh,
and Holly Conrad. I met
Holly
her.
Conrad.
She was so awesome. I missed her
doctor.
She
was really cute. And, like,
I missed her,
like,
doctor. She was Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life on Sunday.
That's what it was. I was like, what the hell? What was that? But she was really cute in it. Like, I was like, that's really cute.
Yeah. So. I missed her Doctor Strange, though, on Saturday. I was so mad. I'm like, Doctor Strange.
She does put on a good Doctor Strange.
She does.
Yeah, it seems like now with cons, it's like each con is finding their niche and going for it. So it seems like San Diego and that is now going more pop culture.
Right.
You know, and then other cons, such as Baltimore, are going more comic oriented. And then you have ones like Dragon Con that are going more cosplay. And it seems like each one is seeing what's more popular and kind of catering.
And New York is kind of somewhere in between the comic and the pop culture.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't fully embraced the pop culture, but it's getting there. So so the other thing then is, do you feel that having cosplayers at a con and having something specifically for cosplayers is a good thing or a bad thing? Because some vendors, not us, but some vendors feel that cosplayers basically pay to get in the door and then they just walk around and they don't buy anything. The other thing is, do you feel that the market for what people bring to cons as a vendor is changing? Because we used to bring a lot of Silver Age, and a lot of people over the weekend really asked for a lot of like 80s and 90s modern stuff. So, is the market really changing, or is the market around here changing? Discuss.
Well, it seems like, with that, a lot of the people that are collectors now are, you know, 30s, 40s, and they grew up in the 80s and 90s now. So they want books that remind them of them growing up, you know, books they didn't get when they were growing up or missed or something, you know what I mean? So it seems like that market's coming in, and it also seems like with Silver Age, it kind of seems like some people have a hard time reading that style now in that age bracket because they're like, oh, it's too wordy. It's
very
you know.
Wordy.
And then some people have the thing of it's too costly to collect that. Like with modern age, you know, I can get most of my run except maybe that one issue that's going to cost me $50 or $100.
Right.
Whereas with Silver Age, every issue is going to cost you in decent shape probably $40, $50. So
fair.
I agree with that. Definitely. Like the Silver Age is like you said, like everyone. Sorry, the mic.
Yeah, like,
like talking with my hands. No. Like people our age want the 80s and 90s because that's what we grew up on.
Right.
I remember when that one X-Men. It was like the number one, and it had like the big fold-out cover.
The Jim Lee.
The Jim Lee.
Yeah.
The most printed comic book in history.
I know.
6.8 million copies
of
that book.
That was
so
cool.
No, it was over 7 million.
I thought it was. That was 6.8.
I think, no. Didn't they have, like, it it had, like, four or five different covers, but then they re-released it and it had the fold-out thing. The fold-out.
Yeah, yeah. There was six covers when it initially came out. Four of them, you pieced together and it made the one giant image. The other one, the fifth cover had the fold-out.
Yeah.
And then there was a sixth cover that is actually rare because it was gold. The cover was gold.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, and also now... with like the older comics is like you can just get everything in a graphic novel form.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people are leaning toward buying graphic novels or dollar books.
Right.
Or whatever. So like really is it that the market really has changed that much into like that's where they're at, or is it the people that collect silver are kind of like already completed stuff, most of their stuff, and they don't want to spend it on other things, or they're looking for only specifically key issues?
At this point, I think it's like a key issue thing. Like,
yeah.
If you have it all except for one or two, then
fair.
Yeah, you know. And it seems like a lot of the younger people now that want to go back and get Silver Age issues and read that stuff.
Right.
They don't want to go and hunt down Jack Kirby's Captain America issues, let's say from 100 to whenever Steranko took over, and pay $100, $20, $30 an issue when they can go to a comic shop and buy each Masterworks in paperback for $24.99 and get the whole run for the cost of one of those issues.
Right. Fair. All right, so what about the cosplay question that was posed?
I don't know. I mean, I cosplay. I mean, I'm not going to go there just to show off my costume. I like to go there for, like, the panels. I love, like... my like bane is like going around and buying stuff. Like I left early on Sunday so I wouldn't buy more stuff.
Right.
And like I was telling you earlier, like my room, like I have so many prints, like I'm out of room and I have like a pile of prints and I don't know what to do.
Oh no.
Like I have stuff I have to get framed too.
Have you tried the ceiling yet?
I don't see. I've done that before and the ceiling just like I feel like once you go on the ceiling it becomes a big mess.
Have you tried the bathroom?
No, because then it'll get all gross from the when you take a shower and stuff.
Well, I guess that's true. I mean, if you get a good fan, but it'd be kind of funny to have, like, the Raging Hulk, like, right by where you're, like, taking a poop.
Yeah,
so it's like, look, I'm the Raging Hulk on the toilet.
This is how you feel right now.
Damn you. No,
but I don't know if it's at, like, the bigger conventions, like the more well... I mean, most of the more well-known cosplayers have their own booths now.
Right.
And they'll still walk around and, like...
See,
you know,
I think it's
fans and buy stuff, but
like I saw people in cosplay shopping my booth.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, but not all of them.
Right.
I think some of them do come to just show off.
Right.
Like the guy who came as Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
He won at Steel City Con costume contest.
Oh, really?
In August.
Yeah.
That was when Steel City was. He won, I think, something.
Oh, and there was this girl. She had to be like, I don't know, 14, who dressed like Squirrel Girl. And she came in with her family, and Aaron and I started, and we just started clapping, and we're like, yeah, yeah, Squirrel Girl, yeah! And like, we're just laughing and cheering her on. And I was like, so does that make your dad Monkey Joe? And it was really fun. But she ended up winning, too. There was a really good Emma Frost. There was a bunch of Nightwings.
There was a good Elektra.
Yeah, there was a good Elektra.
Yeah.
There was a really good Zatanna that I saw.
Oh, yeah, I've seen her before. She always does really good.
Yeah.
Zatanna.
So there was a lot of good ones. There was actually not that many Paul McGann doctors, though, that I saw on Saturday and Sunday. Like,
I think
I saw
only saw
five total.
Yeah, I saw like two.
And only two of them were actually good. The thing that bothered me about, like, some of the Doctor Who cosplay was when they were crossing doctors together. It'd be like they would be dressed like David Tennant, but he would have a fourth doctor scarf and a fez.
No.
I was like, someone's going to get their butt kicked in the parking lot by a truist. I'm like, that guy might be me. Like, I might be like a butt kick or kick this dude's butt for screwing it up. But no, don't do it. Don't amalgamate the doctors. It's not how this works. Mm-hmm. So the last thing is.
There's some cosplay I want to see.
What?
Amalgam cosplay. Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Or the Batman Wolverine. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right, so the last thing. Pittsburgh Comic Con's moving to David L. Lawrence next year,
which I'm not happy about. I don't.
I was just gonna ask, like, what are our feelings about this? Besides the fact that parking's gonna suck and be expensive.
I hate driving in cities.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'll probably go with my friend, so someone else will drive. But I'm not happy. It's far. It's not super far, but I just don't like driving in the city. It gives me
anxiety.
It's not.
It's right by the arena. And I know Ryan hates driving in the city too.
I do hate driving in the city.
Am I going to have to take you down there next year?
Driving to the airport's even awful.
I don't know, man. I probably could just take a bus.
You could take a bus.
Could take a bus.
But if you take a bus, then you can't bring all your swag back. You have limited space.
Ryan and I have actually gotten down to only taking a black portfolio of comics. And that's it.
I don't need to be taking, like, 50 copies of issues and dropping them on the vendor's table. Or,
right.
You know.
Oh,
no,
that
I mean,
was,
if you
yeah,
buy stuff.
That was something Perez and I were talking about how some artists don't, like, they're starting to charge more, or, you know, if somebody comes like a giant stack of stuff, like, how do you go about that? And he was like, when people are with me, that's my whole world is that guy. So if he's got a giant stack and the line's really long, I might be like, hey, I will sign all of these. I'll do 25 now, but I need you to get back in line because I need to keep this moving. But he doesn't charge for it. You know, he doesn't do anything like that. A lot of his money that he gets for sketches goes to charity. You know, and he said that a lot of his friends think he's crazy for doing that because, you know, he doesn't he just thinks of himself as, yeah, I'm just George Perez. I'm just a dude.
Yeah.
And his wife apparently is always like, you are a superstar. You have to understand this. You're a rock star to these people. And, he's just like, whatever. So it's weird. Like, every artist feels differently about it. But, you know, he's like, it doesn't usually get it that annoying because if they're just signing, it's really quick, just a signature and go. It's the guys that want, like, three sketches and a picture and stuff like that that can be tedious but still appreciative. Like, he doesn't discriminate. He's the nicest dude in the world.
Yeah.
Some guys, like when I was in Baltimore, were only signing for 10 minutes.
Wow.
Every hour. 10 minutes. And then they did sketches the rest of the time. Now, granted, a lot of those dudes were guys who their art took a lot more. Like, Frank Avila is all, like, watercolor and stuff, so it took him a while. He paints.
Yeah.
You know, same with Alex Maleev. Like, it was very much so, like, ridiculous because it was painting.
Yeah.
But some guys, you know, they just did a sketch real quick and go and whatever and just pump them through the line. So, I know, Bill Sienkiewicz, it was like, one free signature, and then anything above that was like $10 or something.
It was, I think it was one free signature, and then two for $5 after that. Like every two books was $5.
What if you only had two things that needed signed? Was it $5?
I don't know. That I don't know.
That would be weird.
Because you get your free one, so I don't know what he does then.
I don't know. I didn't have enough time to stand in his line because it was pretty long.
I didn't even attempt.
I know by Saturday night it got whittled down pretty quick, but everything else was pretty.
So. Yeah, I didn't attempt. I have a Demon Bear Saga trade signed from him from years ago, so I was like, meh.
Demon Bear.
Yeah, the New Mutants.
I know. Just saying, that's awesome.
That's the only New Mutants Demon series Bear. I own, actually. I just own the.
Cool. So we're kind of. I think it moving downtown, though, will be. It'll be good for it because it'll be bigger, but it'll only be good for it if they get newer people. Like we were just saying, like. The people that are coming to these things, they want to see these guys from the 80s and 90s. A lot of those guys are huge now because they're still working.
Or they want to see the guys that are, you know, last decade and a half popped in, you know.
Right.
If you got somebody that was, you know, you got Charles Soule or Tony S. Daniel or somebody like that, that would draw people.
Oh, okay. So we're having lunch with Todd, and he just goes, yeah, like a couple years ago, this store had a signing with Matt Fraction, and they sold like 300 of his trade. I don't understand how that happens. Like, why would you do that? And I was like, dude, it's Matt Fraction. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, do you know who Matt Fraction is? Like, yeah, he's a writer. I'm like, do you know who Matt Fraction, the Matt Fraction? Like, how long ago was this? And we think it was when he was doing his Invincible Iron Man run, when the first trade of that came out. But since then, he went on and did, what, 13 volumes of that book?
Yeah.
Hawkeye, he did Avengers, he did X-Men.
His run on Mighty Thor.
Yeah. A lot of people love that dude.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys. I love Matt Fraction. I think he's great.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, we'll see. Like, I think this world has also moved into more of the writer's world, too. Like, a lot of people come out to see their favorite writer as opposed to their favorite artist. Because they don't want to pay stupid money to get a sketch because they don't have that kind of money because of the economy.
Right.
So they'd rather go meet their writer. Like, you would definitely, if Pittsburgh Comic Con was like, hey, we're having Gail Simone next year.
I actually, my old comic store for Free Comic Book Day had Gail Simone, and they had her sign a copy of Batgirl for me, and they sent it to me. And it's the one with Poison Ivy, because I always cosplay as Poison Ivy, too. So I'm like, I geeked out when I got that in the mail.
Yeah, like, but if she were to come to Pittsburgh, you would be freaking out, right?
Yeah, right? I totally would.
But if whoever did the art on that Batgirl issue was there, would you be the same excited? Like, or would you be like, meh, whatever?
If it was that, the artist who did Batwoman with, like...
J.H.
Williams?
That was... I would have probably squealed over that. That was great.
Yeah. That's how Ryan and I felt when they kicked them off. We were like, what are you doing?
It was so awesome.
So
yeah, I was pretty angry about that.
I actually just sold the Elegy series and back issues to someone. So... All right, cool. Well, that's about all I got for this week. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Not really.
No.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, guys, and hope you enjoyed this issue or episode of the Talkcast. Bye-bye.